Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
And welcome to The Drive. I'm Jay Binkley. CDOT back tomorrow with Rob Brenton producing the operation. Well, you heard Josh Vernier. Vern's post-game show. Kansas City Royals, of course, lose today 4-3. I shouldn't say the word, of course. Thought things were going to snap it. Thought things were going to change in Detroit. I really did. But I did preface this with the fact that, as Denny Matthews once said, expect the unexpected. I said the expectation is you're going to play Detroit. That is a feel-good story, going and playing the Detroit Tigers. You nearly saw it the other night when they came storming back from 7 runs. Then a 2-run loss last night, a 1-run loss today. Looked like a little comeback there at the end for the boys in blue. They really needed it, to be honest with you. The skid goes to 11 games, 1-12 now against the AL Central. The record goes to 16-20. Yes, there needs to be change for the Kansas City Royals. Something to spark this team, because this is the same team that had the best record in baseball for a very short time. But they did. They did do it. But they've been losing, and not only that, what really hurts is they're losing games against the AL Central. Now it's the Chicago White Sox for 4. And you knew what you'd say, Rob. You'd say, well, you're going into a hot team with the Chicago White Sox. You know, expect the Chicago White Sox to steamroll the Royals. But if we want to use that Denny Matthews phrase that he said a few years ago on The Drive, expect the unexpected. Should I go there? No, I'm not going to go there. I shouldn't go there, should I? I shouldn't go there and say expect the unexpected. But something's got to change. And I know people have been calling for closed-door meetings. I'm not so sure that works. Yeah, it looks like Raul Ibanez, when he gave that speech to the Royals, that might have worked. I don't know. I mean, there's only certain things you can say. It's about actions, man. It's about not swinging 3-0 like Santana did today. And I get it. Santana's been getting on base, been walking, been doing some things. But just advancing runners, getting in, just getting that winning taste back again. I mean, they bring that fog machine with them, the disco ball. They want to celebrate wins. As they said, winning in the major leagues is tough. It is not easy to do. It is a tough thing. But the one thing is, people are emotionally invested in this team. You see it right now. I mean, I can tell with the callers, they're passionate about the Royals still, and that's a good thing. It's a good thing that we're a couple weeks here from May, or from June, and people are still excited about the Kansas City Royals. It was almost like that feeling came back. That feeling came back for the Kansas City Royals that you had in 14, 15, carried it over to 16, a little bit optimistic in 17. You understood 18, 19, 20. We're going to kind of, 20 was a weird year anyway, but you understand those are real rebuilding years. And I'm good with that. Because I can't go back on it. In 2015, I said, hey, man, just give us a world championship. It'll take 10 years of mediocrity. Now, I said that. Did I really mean it? Well, I don't know. I did say it. But I didn't say these type of losing streaks like the Kansas City Royals have. There is optimism there. Bubich comes in again. Again, he's coming in when the team is down. But he was fantastic again today, coming in long relief like he was the game before. Chris Bubich is a guy that deserves to be in this rotation. It's a battle of the 2018 draft class. You know, Daniel Lynch gets called up here. Junis goes to the bullpen. Chris Bubich, product of that 2018 draft class, doing well. You know, Jackson Coar, he's been off to a fine start in the minor leagues. But again, minor leagues doesn't always translate well to major leagues. Sometimes it does, sometimes it doesn't. Jonathan Bolin, been destroying people down in AA Northwest Arkansas. Hopefully we'll see him at a certain point, but the real cavalry will get here. But the ugly conversation is, will the Royals be sellers? And are you going to be okay with it? If teams come calling for Danny Duffy, which to be honest with you, they probably should at this point, it would be a rental player, not a player under a long-term contract. But who would be the most attractive player? I'd say Danny Duffy right now. Always going to be Whit Merrifield. Always going to be him just because of everything that he does. And I get it, but you know, he might not be hitting the ball like you want him to now, but he does have 25 RBI. But teams are always going to be calling for a player like that. And they're probably not going to deal a player like that. Jorge Soler. Say, okay, you know, look what he did a couple years ago, the 48 home runs. Can he bring that back? He had consistency because he played all the games that year. We'll see what happens with Jorge Soler. The hard hit outs can justify some of these swings. You really can't. But the Royals have got to do something to spark this team. And I don't know what it is. You know, it's not like going out and getting crazy tonight because they got a doubleheader tomorrow. So it's not like doing that. Bringing somebody up. I mean, Bobby Witt, had he started off to a hot start at Northwest Arkansas, he got his first home run yesterday. And everybody's got the Bobby Witt watch. But what else can you really do, Rob, at this point? Daniel Lynch, you thought maybe that guy brings a spark. Daniel Lynch, the number 24 prospect in baseball, starting for the Kansas City Royals. They moved Junis to the bullpen. That should have brought a spark. Unfortunately, it hasn't. Well, what really can they do at this point? It's about letting some of the guys in the minor leagues simmer for a while before bringing them up to Kansas City. But I don't know. I don't know what the answer is. It's a lot about accountability. It's about doing the small things right. Some of the things we're not used to, the bad defensive play, we're not used to that with the Kansas City Royals. But they've got to find a way to come back and win those close games at the end. The other night was an opportunity to come back from 7 runs. But it's about winning those type of games for the Kansas City Royals. Today, had they been able to win or at least tie and go to extra innings with the Detroit Tigers, now they need to win. You know, not losing the bottom of the ninth or not losing the 10th inning. But what can they do? Really, Rob, I mean, I'm looking for sparks and I'm thinking, okay, but is it too early to bring up a Coar or somebody like that for the bullpen? Is it too early to get excited about that? Or do you not want to see the same fate of a Daniel Lynch? Do you want to see somebody come up here and start kicking some butt? Is that what the Royals really need? I mean, that's the question I have.
I mean, I honestly don't know what you can do.
You follow this team like I do.
I wish I had an answer. I really do.
Because locker room speeches don't do a damn thing.
Locker room speeches don't do anything. I don't think unproven prospects rushing them up is going to change anything. You really can't add a free agent piece. I don't think a major trade's in the works. I mean, I just think you have to hope that some guys get out of a slump, which is like the lamest answer ever, and I'm aware of that. But you really, it's not like they're going to be able to go out and sign like a Le'Veon Bell type. I know that's a different sport, but they're not going to be able to go grab a guy off waivers and change the game. They're not bringing up Bobby Witt tomorrow. I mean, that's not happening. They're not bringing up Stuely Matias, as someone on the text line says. That's not happening tomorrow. The top pitching prospects, maybe Coar, but I don't think that shakes everything up. I don't think he's been great at AAA. I haven't looked at his numbers in a while. I think you just got to stay the course, which is like the worst answer ever, and just hope eventually some of this bad luck and some of these slumps equalize out. It's the worst possible answer to hear, but I got nothing else for you.
Jay Southland Tow Service text line says, bring up Bobby Witt Jr. to provide a spark. Well, maybe at some point this summer. Again, he's off to a slow start down in Northwest Arkansas, although he did hit that home run. So hopefully things start turning around. Got to get the strikeouts down a little bit for Bobby Witt Jr. But that will provide a spark for this team. But it's tough, man. I mean, I remember filling in for Vern the night of the Minnesota series. And I was like, all right, this is the time for the Royals. This is time for them to do something. They've got 17 games in a row against AL Central. They're going all the way from April 30th to May 16th against AL Central. They have an off day the 17th. They play the Brewers for two to kind of break things up, and then it's right back to the Detroit Tigers. But this was an opportunity going to Detroit to kind of turn things around. Now, you might be, you know, disappointed, say, oh, this team's going to go play the White Sox. We'll see what happens. You're going to lay down, and they're going to stand up and play. They're disappointing. Text line says nobody's interested in this team anymore. That's not true. People say, well, I've turned my attention away from the Kansas City Royals. we don't care anymore. Well, if you think they don't care, here's another one. Benka refused to give the Royals any more attention. Verdant had full phone lines. Full. Full phone lines after today's loss. The text line has been full. So do people care or not? I'm not just going by Twitter and who's reacting to the game or whatever, because that's always going to happen. Win or lose, people are going to react. But what are people saying about the Royals? I mean, I can go by what we have here, full phone lines. I'm not saying you have to be happy about the way things are. People are mad, and you should be. Should be disappointed in the way this Royal streak is going right now. It's embarrassing baseball you're seeing right now. And they know it. They want to fix it. Trust me, they're professionals. They know how good this team was early on and the confidence that they had, only to go out here and do this kind of stuff. I mean, Minnesota's laying down. Minnesota's going to be that team to jump in this division. Cleveland's still floundering around, relying on that pitching staff. Not that offense, but that pitching staff. Chicago is the team that we thought they would be. But then the rest of the division was all of a sudden you see the Royals and the hot start they were on. Like, where do the Royals fit in this division? Well, they're not going anywhere playing like this. Minnesota, okay, you get bombed on Friday night when they went up there, and they come out and destroy with Danny Duffy the next day. But text line says they need to get into a fight. Maybe something. Not like that Colorado Rockies-Padres fight today. They don't need to get in that. It's making its way around the webs. But I'm just saying, people are emotionally invested in this team. And being mad at this team is still emotionally invested in this team. Chiefs fans are the same way. You saw the reaction in 2012. You flew banners around. You had meetings with Clark Hunt for breakfast. And you wanted change. And the Chiefs gave you change. But you were still mad. It didn't mean you were less passionate about the Kansas City Chiefs. You just turned your cheers into being mad. And it's okay to be mad. You live and die with these teams. You invest in these teams, both financially and emotionally, and you expect results. And you should expect results. You're watching this team. I mean, we can give you excuses like, hey, small market team. They are the only small market team to win a World Series in this new cable television era. So that is one thing they have going for them. But you expect this team to play better because you've seen this team play better, and that's the bottom line. So I don't have any problems with the passion. Making excuses for the Royals, acting like everything's good. No, I'm not, 816. Nothing's good. Pitching's not good. The hitting's not good. I don't know what show you're listening to, but just grab the Q-tip, get the earwax out, and take a listen. I'm not happy with the way things are going. Watching the Royals the last couple of nights have been frustrating. You know, I was hoping for a comeback the other night. And you stay there and watch it. It's painful sometimes to watch this, especially stranding runners. 1-for-11 with runners in scoring position today. It's not good. Longest streak since a 12-game skid in 2012. Not good. Can't let 11 turn into 12. And the whole mindset 2 weeks ago was don't let one loss turn into two. Because they did a nice job of that, being able to come right back and win the next day, kind of wash it out of their minds and come back to play baseball. Well, that one win, that one loss turned into two, and that's manifested itself into an 11-game losing streak, and nothing's good for the Kansas City Royals. By the way, the all-new FNBL location now open off Blue Parkway at 119th and Metcalf. While you're there, look for the Ultimate Fan Display and text in the keyword for your chance to win the Ultimate Baseball Fan Prize Package. Four tickets to see the Boys in Blue versus the Redbirds. Mini baseball tailgate grill and $50 gift card for your tailgate supplies at your local Price Chopper. $250 gift card to Academy Sports and Outdoors to stock up on all the swag. Just go have fun with it anyway. You know, hope the Royals snap the streak. On a positive note, the Kansas City Chiefs made a nice trade today. They get Michael Hughes. I'll say this. Mike Hughes comes from the Minnesota Vikings. He's a cornerback. The one thing about Mike Hughes is he's on the last year of his contract, but he's a first-round pick. And this is one of those kick-the-tires type moves. Kind of disappointed a little bit in Minneapolis since he's been there. Chiefs send a 2022 sixth-rounder. They get Hughes back and the Vikings seventh-rounder next year. Now, Mike Hughes, he's had some injury history. That's been basically his problem. Had a torn ACL that kept him out a year. He's had two neck injuries as well. Shortened his season last year. But he played in college and played at UCF and played damn well. Matter of fact, his final year at UCF had two kick returns and a punt return for a touchdown. So he can be that returner role as well if he can strike things back. Again, coming back from the ACL, we see guys do it all the time. But according to the Minneapolis Riders, he is healthy this offseason. He was ready to put that kind of back behind him. But you look at this, and here's the interesting thing about Mike Hughes. He was the 30th pick overall in the first round in 2019. DeAndre Baker, by the way, was a first-round pick in 2018, round one, pick 30, 2019. So you have the 2018-2019, round one, pick 30 corners. And again, when you get towards the end of the first round, you see how scary and dicey this can be. And this is back when, you know, the full medicals, full combines to go evaluate players. It should show you this year what they were dealing with in the NFL and why that 31st pick going to the Baltimore Ravens really didn't matter for the Kansas City Chiefs because there was a lot of uncertainty this year. The Chiefs have accumulated the 30th pick, the last 19 and 18 on cornerbacks, so we'll see. Not going to sit here and say Mike Hughes is the answer at corner, but it does add depth to that cornerback room. This is one addition that they didn't have really in the draft. Well, they didn't. That defensive back looking for it. So Mike Hughes maybe gets something for DeAndre Baker, get some production out of him. He did have that broken femur this past year. See what he comes back. I did like what DeAndre Baker showed in flashes. After all, part of that five-game streak the Chiefs had in getting sacks to the quarterback from the cornerback position. Legarius Sneed, four of those. DeAndre Baker, the fifth one. But Mike Hughes goes to that secondary. And I'll be honest with you, it's a fine move, fine addition. I like what Brett Veach is trying to do here. You might as well do it. This is a guy that was sitting out there. He was available. Wasn't working out with the Minnesota Vikings. Change the scenery. Get here to Kansas City. Go work with Sam Madison, Dave Merritt, Steve Spagnuolo. Because Steve Spagnuolo is a defensive back guy by trade. And see what happens for the Kansas City Chiefs. So I'm on board this trade. Why not? I'm not against it. Why would I be against it? Kick the tires. See what you got. But if he can return to form like he was at UCF. Not a lot of college playing time, though, Rob. Played at UNC. Took a year off. With the Garden City guy, community college right here in Kansas. And then he transferred to UCF and was on the they're calling it a national title team, but the undefeated UCF team, he was a part of it. But the schedule release came out yesterday for the Kansas City Chiefs as really this has become a big entity for the Kansas City Chiefs. I'm looking forward to this season because to me, it's a complete test because this offense, I believe, is loaded more than we've seen it in the past. Yeah, we saw a great Patrick Mahomes in his MVP season. But the continued growth and understanding of the game and routes and everything else that Patrick Mahomes is accumulating and putting together is unbelievable. His football IQ is off the charts. It just keeps getting better. That's what's going to happen when the quarterback matures. Like, I fully expect this to be the best Patrick Mahomes we've seen. Yeah, he got hurt last year. He had the turf toe coming off that. Well, just going to have to change the way he plays football in some extent. Man, I have no problem with him back in that pocket behind this offensive line that they've accumulated and rebuilt where they've gone out and brought in Creed Humphrey. Whether he starts or not, he's got to beat out Austin Blythe unless they move Austin Blythe to guard, which he can play guard because that's what he did in L.A., played guard and center. You have Joe Tooney that's given up just three sacks in the last 3 years. Orlando Brown's given up just one sack in the last 2 years. But I think when you give Patrick Mahomes that more time to sit back in that pocket behind that offensive line, you're going to see the best that he has to offer. And not only that, he's going to get tested right away. I mean, this Chiefs schedule, if you look at it, six of the first nine games you're playing playoff teams from last year. Final eight, you're only playing one playoff team from last year. But it doesn't matter. You flip on NFL Network or ESPN, they're talking about, the Chiefs, 11th toughest schedule in the NFL because of winning percentage from last year. But also remember, you're playing the NFC East, who did not have a champion until the final game of the year, and it was tough to find a champion from the NFC East. And then the extra game this year, the bonus game, the 17th game, which is not really the last game of the season, but the extra opponent was the Green Bay Packers that may or may not have Aaron Rodgers to play this season. So I still look at it as a favorable schedule. I mean, you can even go back to the 2018-19 playoffs. Patriots, Texans, 49ers, Eagles, Vikings, all in the playoffs that year. Last year, when they expanded the playoffs from 12 to 14, none of those five teams were in the playoffs. So we can sit here and look at the schedule and say, ooh, that's going to be a tough team. Never know in the NFL. With injuries to quarterbacks, running backs, other positions, the injury bug hits, you never know if the team is going to be good or not. We can sit there on paper and go, ooh, it's a tough game. It's a tough game. Maybe it is. Maybe it isn't. I'm higher on the Cleveland Browns to start the season than CDOT was. And CDOT and I went back and forth with it on Tuesday. Rob is not a big believer in the Cleveland Browns. I am, because the Cleveland Browns, to me, address needs in the offseason. That's what teams on the move do, is they address needs. The Kansas City Chiefs addressed a huge need by rebuilding the offensive line. Cleveland Browns addressed a big need by taking a look at their defense. Adding Tack McKinley. Adding Clowney, which I'm not expecting a ton from, but Myles Garrett's on the other side. Maybe draw attention away. But John Johnson, Troy Hill, the starting safety and corner for the Rams to the Cleveland Browns. The Browns essentially went out and got 50% of the best pass defense in the NFL. Not just saying that, they were statistically the best defense and pass defense in the NFL. The Rams were, and the Browns now have 50% of that. And the third best ground game in the NFL last year. Well, maybe the second if you took away Eddie George, Derrick Henry. But if you took away Derrick Henry, hey, man, I'm still an Eddie George guy, man. It was always one of my favorite runners, man. But Derrick Henry, you take him away because I've said how he goes, that team goes, Tannehill, and that's why I can't ever respect the Titans. But the Cleveland Browns also have three All-Pros on their offensive line. They're the only NFL team that can say, not that I'm not talking Pro Bowl, I'm talking All-Pro on that offensive line. In guards, Joel Bitonio and Wyatt Teller. Tackle, Jack Conklin. That is a formidable team, and I get it. Their schedule wasn't great, but it doesn't matter. In the NFL, you got to beat the opponents in front of you, and it's a team that went to the playoffs, won a game. They come into Kansas City, lose by five. I get it. 7:44 in the third quarter, Mahomes goes out, Henny comes in. But it still came down to Henny giving Sunday making a play at the end to beat the Cleveland Browns. But Rob can't give him respect. A lot of people can't give the Cleveland Browns respect. And I get it. If you want to say, oh, Andy Reid 7-1 on opening day. Oh, the Cleveland Browns. You look back at the Cleveland Browns, last 22 opening days. One win, 2004. One tie 2 years ago against the Steelers, which I hate ties, and 20 losses. So 1-1-20. But we can't go by that. You got to throw it out the window. They have the coach of the year. They have a team like I've described, and that's who the Chiefs have. But I will say this. You're giving Andy Reid from now until game one. What do you expect? What did the Patriots expect a couple years ago when the Chiefs went up there on Thursday night when they were defending world champions from 2016 and the Chiefs went and pasted them on opening night, banner night, in 2017 on that Thursday night? You give Andy Reid time and he's going to beat you. It's why this team starts off hot. It's why he's Mr. September, as he goes out and wins these type of games. Go ahead and give Andy Reid all that time. That's the saving grace against Cleveland. That's why I'm kind of glad this game is week one, because I do have respect for Cleveland, unlike you do, Rob. Unlike you do. Regardless, the Kansas City Chiefs get their trade. We'll talk more about that when we play the hits coming up next.
The Drive, weekdays 2 to 6.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Welcome back to The Drive. Jay Binkley in for CDOT. He'll be back tomorrow. Rob Britton producing the operation. Before we get to the hits, I will say this, Rob. Can you name the first NFL team to sign all their draft picks? And granted, there was only six.
Well, since I just saw this come across my email, I'm going to say Kansas City Chiefs.
There you go. I got me. You cheated.
I mean, I'm on the PR emails too, Bink. It's almost like I work in media.
I did know about the Hughes trade before you did, though.
That's true. You did beat me there.
Usually I don't beat you. That's why I always go to you for information. Because typically, like, CDOT gives me crap. He says, why'd you ask Rob? I don't know. Rob's kind of my Alexa, man. I just go, ask Rob. You know, I do. I ask you the slang terms that the kids have, you know?
Some of them I ask CDOT, so.
I asked you what the bag was the other day.
You did.
I know what the bag is. I didn't know what major bag alert meant, like Wendy's.
And then you asked me.
I don't get it.
You asked me earlier, like, what's cap? I'm like,
cap.
I got you.
Yeah, cap. What's no cap mean?
No cap.
I always think salary cap when you're saying it like that.
No cap means like don't front.
I know that now. I know that now.
I got you. I'm here for you, Bink.
I didn't realize you were running the CDOT for information. May I just go straight to CDOT?
Yeah, you need to cut me out. Cut the middle, man.
I've started doing that, by the way. sometimes I go ask Rob. But right now I'm going to ask you for the hits.
Okay, now, from the beginning.
And now, the moment you've all been waiting for.
Check it out.
The top stories of the day, every day at 5 o'clock. The hits.
Cue it up.
One.
Go!
Well, the top story in Kansas City seems like a little evergreen. It's been this top story for the last 11 days, but the Royals have yet again lost a game, cranking their losing streak all the way to 11.
Mm.
Bink, what doubly hurts is that this losing streak has come against the division.
Mm.
Is it now too late for the Royals to pull out of this tailspin, and is the season over, or can they redeem themselves in the upcoming series?
Well, it's not over because you've seen how lousy Major League Baseball is on the whole. I mean, you look at what the Dodgers are doing, spending over $200 million. What the hell are they doing? But there are streaks, and there's some teams that are playing well. Like the Chicago White Sox, I get that. Now, I'm not expecting great things for the Kansas City Royals. I mean, they just need to get close to 500. Get close to 500, make a run, show some progress this summer. June, July, and August, well, September you expect go time because you can't put much stock in the September numbers, although you could last year because of all the extra playoff teams, and teams only had 2 months to play, essentially. But there still is light at the end of the tunnel, but they've got to stop. They need to win these close games. It's like the one-run game 3 nights ago, two-run game last night, the one-run game today. We're talking winnable games. Now, it didn't look like that 7-0 game was going to be winnable, but then all of a sudden they tie them up 7-7. Got to find a way to win one of these, especially against the Detroit Tigers, who probably had a grand total of 15 fans in the stands, including that dude that didn't wear a shirt, shoes, socks. Vern has him now as his avatar, which is really bizarre. I would guess he was just wearing a Speedo, but that's what it's become. That's what it's become. You're losing to that team. And Miguel Cabrera still owed $90 million. And he can't get the first very fast. That's a problem. But they have a lot of young talent, so do the Royals. That's why Cody and Gold are going down to Arkansas, Northwest Arkansas, to see some of that young talent. Hopefully they bring some mojo back with them. The Kansas City Royals have got to find a way to win, man. I keep waiting for this every night. I mean, I can't sit there every night and see another loss. I've been listening to Vern, though. Cheer Vern up. We need to cheer Vern up, seriously. Like 11 games, it's like the Maytaker Pyramid. I feel like Groundhog Day here with this team. Got to find a way to win. I expected more from this team because they gave you more. At the beginning of the season, they gave you more. They hated losing twice. They had that disposition. It's hard to win the major leagues. They were enjoying wins. They were enjoying the celebrations. They were loose. They were having fun. They were playing a game. Now it's like a business. They are pressing way too hard. They're trying to hit a five-run home run sometimes at the plate like Jorge Soler. But they are pressing in what they're doing. It's a slow deal, man. It's an ice sculpture. You got to keep chipping away at it. That's what the Royals need to do. Just keep chipping away at it. But they're pressing way too hard. They need to go back just having fun like they did earlier in the season, because this team was a different team because they went out with that little league mindset. Now it's all business. Can't win like that.
Two.
Well, let's step away from the Kansas City Royals for just a minute. Talk about the Kansas City Chiefs, who made a trade today with the Minnesota Vikings. They have added 2018 Vikings first-round pick cornerback Mike Hughes to the roster. They've also swapped some late-round picks in next year's draft. Think two-part question about Mike Hughes. One, do you like the addition of the former first-round pick? And two, do you believe this rules out the addition of one Bashaud Breeland to this Chiefs roster?
I do not, because I think what the Chiefs have done, and they have the money to bring in Breeland. I think the deal with him gets... I'd like to see it get done because he's a proven commodity. But the Royals are creating competition. There's a couple areas they needed to get better at. One was the offensive line. Done that. Not even worth talking about at this point. We will in a bit. Quarterback was another issue because this is a passing league. You got to be able to stop the pass, because if you can't stop the pass, you've got to be able to get to the cornerback. Well, they didn't really address edge rusher. Now, interior rush for the Chiefs, much different story. Jaron Reed now with Chris Jones. It is the nastiest interior pass rush in the NFL. However, I saw Spags, who's always creative, go five straight games with a corner blitz for a sack. Legarius Sneed was like Mr. Sack Man last year. Had he been doing that early season, who knows how many he would have ended up with. Might have even led the team. But DeAndre Baker and Sneed, they had five straight sacks and five straight games going into the playoffs. So I like that, but the Chiefs are addressing their needs, and I like this. Mike Hughes was a stud back at UCF. They have really, they're kicking the tires on the 2019 30th pick in the draft first round, 2018 30th pick in the first round, in two corners, in Hughes and DeAndre Baker. Now, I like it because I believe in the coaching staff, just like Kando that they got from Florida State. Coaches going in and out that door at Florida State, they draft him to coach him up. That's been an often tried and true strategy with the Kansas City Chiefs. Sometimes it works. You bring in here, you have Spags, you get the Honey Badge, you got these leaders on defense coaching them up, and then you got Sam Madison, Dave Merritt in the bunch, and you get better results when there's higher expectations on said players. I'm 100% for the Chiefs making this move with Hughes. Now, he hasn't flashed. He's had a lot of injury problems, torn ACL, and then a couple neck injuries. But you go back to UCF just 2 years ago, dude had two kick returns for touchdowns, had a punt return for touchdown, and was a starting corner on an undefeated team. So I'm going to say this. I do like the move, because hating it is ridiculous. It really is.
Didn't Mike Hughes win a national title at UCF?
They called it a national title, but they didn't play Bama. So I'm not,
They didn't play in the playoff.
No, they didn't. But that's another problem with the playoffs. They should have expected. They should have played in the playoffs.
Champion. He was a champion, Bink.
Well, You're not a champion unless you beat Bama.
Well, I'd be remiss if I didn't talk about the biggest story in the National Football League, which is yesterday was the schedule release. And we got leaks from 6A to 6P before the official schedule dropped. We now know what the national programming looks like all year in the NFL. But I don't want to dive into each game with you, Bink, although I know you could. My question for you is this. Are you surprised that the NFL has been able to take over a day in May with their schedule the way they take over every other part of the year with their offseason?
I'm not shocked at all. The NFL, you might like Roger Goodell, you might hate him, but he brings in money. That's why he makes over $30 million a year. He prints money at his job. And I have to give the guy credit. Right now, he's the best commissioner, and it's not even close. He's better than Manfred, who doesn't know his head from his butt at times in baseball. Gary Bettman's always booed. Even when he gives a town a team, he still gets booed. But Roger Goodell is the end-all, be-all for commissioners. To be honest with you, I can't think in the history of sports a better commissioner than Roger Goodell, because he's taken the most mundane things and he's made them a big deal. Keep in mind, the combine at times back in the day was run during the week, and then it went to the weekends. And then Roger Goodell a couple years ago said, let's put Thursday night on primetime, run the 40s, you know, do the bench press. We'll do the jockstrap Olympics on national TV, and people will love it, and they'll watch it, and they'll consume it, and they did. Because what happened the year before and the year before that? They started letting attendance come in there. Then they started streaming this on the NFL mobile devices. They said, you know what? No, they haven't. They didn't have the combine this year. I get it. The pandemic wiped it out, so they didn't have it. No combine at all. But they started putting that on national TV. The draft 2010, they said, hey, let's take Thursday night and make that the first round of our draft. Let's make it a big deal, okay? And they made it a big deal. The draft has become a huge deal in the NFL because everybody thinks they have a chance. And the schedule release was dangling out there like a carrot on a stick. And what they did is they took it and they said, let's make this a big deal too, because everything else we try to do and make a big deal, we do. And I know a lot of people are pissed. I'm just going to wait till the schedule comes out. But you're still interested when Larry at work comes up and says, hey, man, week 5, we're playing the Bills, middle of the afternoon. You're like, huh? Yeah, it was leaked. I heard it on 610 Sports Radio. You like that stuff because you talk about the water cooler. You talk about lunch. You're on Zoom calls. You text your buddy and say, oh, man, we got the Bills coming up. We got a ton of great games. You love it. And they did a brilliant thing with their partners on the morning shows, putting out the first game of the year. The NFL's okay with leaks because leaks got you talking all day. And then, boom, 6:45, phew, schedule leak. All these teams did creative things, Rob. These PR departments are incredible. The Chiefs video with Andy Reid saying he's ready for the challenge, going back, the Baltimore Ravens did like an incredible video. So the Panthers did an incredible video. But all these videos were great. Peyton Manning doing stuff for the Broncos. This becomes an arms race of digital departments in the NFL. They're getting their feet in the fire too here with the NFL and schedule release. But hats off to the NFL because they took a mundane day in the day of month. And essentially, the NFL has every month covered. Whether you're talking the Senior Bowl, whether you're talking the draft, whether you're talking the combine, whether you're talking free agency that totally ruined the NCAA tournament in the first round because nobody cared. They cared about free agents. And they're getting ready to have OTAs and mini camps. Going to roll you straight into July with training camps. Then, boom, you're going to go in the preseason, regular season. The NFL's got you. Whether you believe it or not, this is the most popular sport in America.
Four.
Sorry, I went on a rant.
No, you're good. Our fourth and final hit for the day is about the aforementioned Kansas City Chiefs schedule. And again, I'm not going to go through all 16 weeks with you. And later in the show, we'll discuss what our favorite road trip is on the schedule. But, Bink, my question for you is this. With the rebuilt offensive line, these Chiefs will be, for better or worse, new look in the early going. And they will face teams that we deem to be their biggest competition in the AFC in these early weeks. Is that a good or bad thing for your Kansas City Chiefs?
It's a great thing. It was time to kind of overhaul the foundation of what this team is. That's what they did. You're only as good as your offensive line. Whether you drive up to St. Joe to see linemen or not, which you really don't, you want to see flash. If you don't hear about linemen, that's a good thing. It's a really good thing because it means they're doing your job. Eric Fisher used to be talked about all the time here. And then all of a sudden, he wasn't talked about anymore because he was doing his job. But every house has to have a sturdy foundation. That's why they pour the concrete, everything else, but you got to do that foundation first. It's like putting landscape bricks out in front of your house. You get that first row, which is a pain in the butt because you got to put the sand down. You got to level it. You got to do all that. You know what I'm talking about. But then the rest of it goes right up. You got to start with that offensive line. And what the Chiefs did is kind of what the Colts have been doing. They've been winning because of their offensive line. You know, Ryan Kelly, Anthony Costanzo, that just retired, Braden Smith, Quentin Nelson, the best offensive lineman in football. And they're winning games with mediocre quarterback, like Phillip Rivers last year, who's now coaching high school football down in Alabama. But they won because of that offensive line. Jonathan Taylor was the third leading rusher in the NFL because of the offensive line. Cleveland Browns have an awesome offensive line. Baker Mayfield only threw for over 200 yards 3 times in the last 9 games. It just wasn't there for him. But you know what? They didn't need him to because they have a stud offensive line. Now you put that line in front of Patrick Mahomes, look out. Because that's the only difference between the Chiefs and those other teams. They all have great offensive lines. Chiefs have a top three offensive line in the AFC at this point, in my opinion. It's going to be a lot of competition on battling for right guard and right tackle, which is perfect. It's what this team needs. But you're having this offensive line with the quarterback behind it. I mean, this is no Carson Wentz in Indy. This is no Baker Mayfield in Cleveland. This is a better quarterback than that behind this offensive line. This is perfect. This was the number one need they had, and they went out and addressed it, and they fixed it, and they turned things around. But you look at the schedule, man. Cleveland. And I like this game being the first game of the year. For no other reason than I think they're good. And I'll give Cleveland credit because I think they're on the right path. For the first time in a long time, I think this team is going the right direction. They really are. Coach of the year. They're winning a playoff game. I mean, this isn't your daddy's Cleveland Browns, or maybe it was because they were pretty good back then with Marty Schottenheimer, but I digress. They haven't been good. Again, 1-1-20 in their last 22 opening games. That's futility. Going through GMs and coaches like water. Lake Erie's on fire more than Cleveland would win. They haven't won a game since 2004. They tied the Steelers 2 years ago. But they're 1-1-20 in the last 22. Give Andy Reid that time to prepare. Because I remember what happened to Bill Belichick, Tom Brady, the New England Patriots, that Thursday night when they were world champions in 2016, 2017, Kareem Hunt and company came up there and they kicked their butts. Banner night, they already had the rings, it was ring presentation, everything else. And they won. You give Andy Reid time and he's going to out-coach every single coach in the NFL. Now, on a weekly basis, yeah, Belichick's right there with him. If it's a one-week deal, you got to play the Patriots next week, we see him play the Chiefs close. But you give Andy Reid time. I mean, basically, if you give Andy Reid a week, he's the best coach in the National Football League. But you give him an entire summer, look out. But I consider Cleveland kind of on that second tier. Chiefs, and then the second tier, which involves Cleveland, which involves Baltimore, which involves Buffalo Bills, which involves the Indianapolis Colts. Those four teams, in my opinion. Now, New England, I love what they did in the offseason. They spent $137.5 million, second most ever in free agency. But the quarterback position is still shaky, and I don't think Mac Jones is the answer this year. Don't. But I like Hunter Henry, Jonnu Smith. I love Godshall on defense. I like the moves that they made. But I don't know if they're ready for prime time yet. We'll find out. But rarely, even with a rookie quarterback, do you get that? Do you expect Mac Jones to beat out Cam Newton in the beginning? I don't. It's going to take a few minutes. But you have Cleveland, then Baltimore. Then the Chargers. Everybody's All-American. There's still a lot of Chargers love. People are buying this team. People are buying the Chargers. And I'll give you this. I do think right now they're the second-best team in the AFC West unless Aaron Rodgers goes to Denver. But still, I'm hesitant to buy in to Brandon Staley as head coach. I just am. I think the Chargers made a monumental mistake not hiring Eric Bieniemy. Not hiring an offensive coordinator. It's been the three straight AFC title games, two straight Super Bowls, played for the Chargers in the Super Bowl. But instead, you went with the one-year defensive coordinator to be with the hotshot quarterback. See how that works. See how that works for Justin Herbert, who's not a very boisterous guy himself. Could play, but not one of those, you know, outspoken leader type guys. All right, so that's your first three games. Cleveland, Baltimore, L.A. Two of those teams were in my bubble for the second tier. Then Philly, nice revenge game. Andy Reid goes back to Philly. Then Buffalo. So three out of your first five games are, I think, teams that are on that second tier bubble. The Chiefs could put a stamp. They could put the foot on the throat of the AFC in these three games. These are ones you circle here. Because I'll tell you this much, Baltimore is circling week two. It's at Baltimore. They're circling this game just like they did last year. Now, I don't know if the mindset has changed. I talked to Jonas Schaefer, who covers the Baltimore Ravens for the Baltimore Sun. He came on, we laughed at Orlando Brown trade. We didn't think it was going to happen. Then it did happen. So he came back on that following Sunday with me. And he was talking about Baltimore, why they made that trade for Orlando Brown to a rival in the Chiefs. Still didn't make sense. I mean, Veach has been asked about that from Mike Florio visits last week to Rich Eisen asked him the same question. People still want to know why they would trade him to a rival. I asked Jonas that question, who covers the Ravens, goes to Combine, does everything with the Ravens. He said, well, they're going to concentrate on themselves now. That sounds like somebody going through a breakup. Tanning beds, convertible, and gym. That's the Baltimore Ravens. But they've admitted the Chiefs are their kryptonite. Patrick Mahomes is thrown for 370 per game, 9 touchdowns, 1 pick, and 3 games against the Baltimore Ravens, and they are infatuated with him. So much so that the Orioles are infatuated with Patrick Mahomes. They even tweeted out about Patrick. But they don't get attention like Patrick Mahomes does because he's in their head. The Chiefs reside in the head of the Baltimore Ravens. They tap dance like Fred Astaire in their brain. But still, Baltimore wants to win that game to prove that not only the Sammy Watkins was a smart signing for them, which I did like their draft, to be quite honest with you. I like Rashad Bateman. Sammy Watkins, who knows if he'll play. He'll probably play that game, but then he'll get hurt afterwards. But Cleveland and Baltimore. Baltimore will be circling that game to validate. Because Lamar Jackson needs to beat Patrick Mahomes, and so far he just can't. Last year was a blowout fashion. The other games were close. And then week 5, Buffalo. But 2 of those 3 are at Arrowhead Stadium. 2 of the 3 are at GHA Stadium. The Buffalo Bills come. They had 2 shots at the Kansas City Chiefs last year, and Josh Allen proved he wasn't yet ready for prime time. To be honest with you, I think they need to worry about the Colts. The good news is their division is getting much better. I mean, Dolphins win 10 games. The Patriots got much better in the offseason. Like, Buffalo needs to seriously just look at what's going on. The Jets, they're not laying down anymore for anybody. Robert Saleh is bringing a different attitude to that team. So they're looking at that team and their division, and the Chiefs, not yet. Not yet. Not until Aaron Rodgers, if he goes to Denver, which I guess some are saying, like Colin Coward says he's staying in Green Bay, but really, what the hell's he know? Nothing. I don't think nobody knows but Aaron Rodgers. Like, he's that kind of individual. Like, nobody knows. Seriously. Like, Aaron Rodgers is probably the only person that knows, and the producer of Jeopardy. But to be honest with you, I think he wants closer to the West Coast so he can do both. I hope he goes to Jeopardy. I don't want to see him in Denver. I had a caller not too long ago, Rob, that called in and said, why didn't anybody in 610 worry about Rodgers going to Denver? Have you heard that ever? On 610, I've never heard that once.
We haven't said he is going to Denver, but we've had guests on discussing the possibility of him going to Denver and what that would mean for the division. So,
but you're not taking it lightly. You're saying, oh, if he goes to Denver, well, yeah, we got to take the team seriously.
Exactly. We take the Broncos lightly right now because the Bridgewater lock combination ain't scaring anyone. But you know, it's also I'm also the opinion that I don't think Aaron Rodgers will go anywhere. I think he's throwing a little hissy fit. He's going to get some fences mended. He's going to finish his contract and be done. Like, that's my bet on Aaron Rodgers. So,
and he's got $240 million in the bank.
I agree. I don't think the Packers have any incentive to trade him. So I don't think they're going to trade him. So I have not even discussed, well, what would it look like if the Broncos had, you know, Aaron Rodgers? Well, I don't think they're going to have Aaron Rodgers. It doesn't really matter to me. I'm not gonna waste the listeners' time by saying here's what it would look like, because I don't think it's gonna happen.
But if you're in Denver though, wouldn't you go all in for him? Obviously, there's a fracture.
Yeah, I mean,
obviously
it makes sense.
The door
if you're
has
Denver.
A crack in it, kick it open. I mean, seriously, go all in, because Courtland Sutton, they're gonna have to re-up. Jerry Jeudy is already in his second year. Von Miller's about done. They go out and get Kyle Fuller and Darby, and they bring in Patrick. That team is loaded, man. They just don't have a quarterback. I think Drew Locke can be a serviceable quarterback in this league, but not with Vic Fangio. But Aaron Rodgers, like, Vic Fangio doesn't matter. Does he? Not at all. Like,
I don't think Vic Fangio is a very good coach. No,
he's not.
I know
that
you
team
don't think
is loaded.
I know you don't think very much of Brandon Staley, and that's fair because we don't know anything about Brandon Staley, but I mean I can make the easy argument that Vic Fangio is the worst coach in the division. And I think part of the reason is I think it's the timing. Vic Fangio wants to play Marty Ball in 2020 and 2021. That's just not how you're going to win games.
Well, you could make the argument that he's the worst, but John Gruden's...
Yeah, there's an argument there, too.
He's pushing towards it because that is the best team that did not make the playoffs.
At least they've had a winning season under John, right?
Yeah,
go eight, I guess
but
eight
that,
and eight
that,
last
that is NFL's most disappointing team.
No, that's fair.
They've got talent.
Some people say
they win at the beginning of the year, and people talk MVP with Derek Carr, and then they fall on their face. This year, they'll have fans. And we'll see what happens in Cincinnati when they do.
And they'll have a DJ in the end zone.
And
a nightclub.
In bottle service. but the bottom line is, we talk about the Royals and the skid they're on against the AL Central. Andy Reid is 31-5 against this division since 2015. I mean, it could be 32-4 very easily if they cared about that Chargers game at the end of the year, but they don't. All right, so the last 10 games against the Broncos. Chiefs are 10-0. Matter of fact, they've won 11 straight against the Denver Broncos, going back to 9-17-2015 when Peyton Manning was the quarterback. Against the Chargers, last 10, they're 8-2. 12 of the last 14 against the Raiders. They did lose this year, but they're still 8-2 in their last 10. 13 in the last 15. Then people say, well, you look at the schedule, three of the last four are on the road. Is that really a concern to you? The Chiefs are 15-1 on the road the last 2 years. That is the mark of a good football team. When you can go on the road, and I get it, last year you can make that argument if you want. There's no fans or limited fans or whatever. It wasn't the true road game. I'll buy that. But the year before, they were 7-1, which is great because there's no pandemic back then in 19. Year before, 5-3. Year before, 4-4, 6-2, 5-3. Andy Reid, since he's been in Kansas City, he's only been under 500 on the road one time. That was 2014 when he went 3-5. First year here on the road, he went 6-2. He's 18-4 on the road in his last three games. That doesn't concern me at all, especially when you have a quarterback like Patrick Mahomes and you have this new-look offensive line. James Palmer from NFL Network put out a pretty interesting tweet. Mahomes versus the 2021 opponents. Against the Raiders, he's 5-1. Titans, 5-1. Chargers, 5-1. All others, 16-0. Of course, Denver's a big part of that because that was his first win ever, was the Denver Broncos. 9-1-3, we went undefeated last year. That's why I said text line. Again, Q-tip, ear, use it. They went 8-0, 7-1 the year before. They went undefeated on the road last year. And I said you can argue it if you want because there was no fans on the road. It was much different. Matter of fact, more road teams won than the home teams in the NFL last year. Did you know that? First time it ever happened. More road teams won. So I get it. It does happen. There's no question about it. But the bottom line is, those first five games, you've Cleveland, then Baltimore. And yeah, it's going to be tough because you got to switch from Cleveland to Baltimore just like that. Like either one of those games, either one of Cleveland, Baltimore, or Buffalo, the first 5 weeks, home or road, I don't care. Give Andy Reid the summer. Give him Andy Reid now. From now, and they have revenge on their mind. Mahomes is knocked out of that Cleveland game. Mecole Hardman even tweeted about it. You think they're happy about it? No. Do you think the Chiefs want some? They do. You think they're happy about what happened in the Super Bowl and everybody's talking about that and living up the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and every time you turn on TV, they're talking about, ooh, Tom Brady, Bruce Arians, the Buccaneers. I'm getting kind of tired of that. And I want to see it because I think the Chiefs will play the Bucs in the Super Bowl, Rob. After looking at the schedule, that is my prediction this year is Chiefs and Bucs. Now, I like to pick the Chiefs in the big game, unless I don't think I've had the Saints there the last couple of years. And the Saints have, well, let me down with Drew Brees. But I'm going to go back with the Bucs because they got some continuity finally. Remember Tom Brady? He didn't even know a lot of the players' names because they never saw him because they were on the opposite side of the field. They ate different times or whatever with the mask. But continuity, and they're running it back. We'll see how far that takes them. Your Super Bowl prediction? I mean, you got to have one.
Right now, I got Chiefs. That's the AFC. That's the layup. And on the NFC side, I'm torn between a couple teams because I really think that the Niners have a chance to be really, really good this year against a very bad schedule. And I think Kyle Shanahan can make Trey Lance great. But I'm just not all the way in yet because that division is so hard. But they're like my dark horse team over there. But I'm not taking them right now. So I'm going to take the Chiefs and the Rams in the Super Bowl.
Really? You're buying Sean McVay?
I'm buying Sean McVay.
So you're part of the group that says Jared Goff held him back.
Yes. I think Jared Goff held him back. Because the 1 year Goff was good, they went to a Super Bowl, and Goff was MVP levels of good.
But they have lost talent.
They have lost talent, but I think they've recovered, and they've gotten younger and better in some areas. And I think they get fans back, and Aaron Donald made that defense basically by himself last year elite. As long as they have Aaron Donald, that defense is going to be special. So
and Brandon Staley got a job because of it.
Mm-hmm. I'm a believer in the Rams.
They did lose 50% of the secondary to the Browns, though.
I'm also not a believer in the Browns.
And
so
they lost Austin Blythe to the Chiefs.
Okay, well, if you can't recover from a loss of center, then you probably have bigger problems as a franchise.
They've been going through centers because Brian Hill, I mean, they've had like different centers every year for like the last 4 years. Maybe Clayton Kershaw can be the center for Matt Stafford once again like he was in high school. They're close. Close proximity. Regardless, we need to take a time. We come back. Juiciest road trip for the Kansas City Chiefs this year. I know you're itching to go travel now. Which game you picking? Rob and I completely differ on this. We discuss that next.
The Drive. 610 Sports Radio. Welcome back to 610 Sports Radio, the official broadcast partner of the Kansas City Chiefs.
Welcome back to The Drive. Jay Binkley, C-Dot back tomorrow. Rob Britton in all his majesty here producing the operation. The Dustman, the Dirty Werewolf, will be in here 6 to 9 tonight. So make sure you stay around for the Dustman. Royals, Chiefs, you name it, he's got you covered. And he's got some ideas on how the Royals could bust a slump. He's got some great ideas. Some I can repeat on the air, some I can't. Some things are just better left between text messages. You just leave it at that. Road trips, Rob. Now's the time. People are getting the shots. They're getting their airline tickets. They're getting their hotel. And they're going. Have you seen the prices for the Raiders games on the road? They are very proud of Sin City and charging fans. I know that is the destination place for all teams in the NFL to go play the Raiders.
Yeah, $800-some-odd according to Vivid Seats. Of course, my internet froze the absolute worst time. So
but they have a lot of season ticket holders in Kansas City.
Here we go.
They were buying them as a whole.
Here we go. According to Vivid Seats, here are the most expensive single-game tickets on average in your upcoming NFL schedule. The most expensive is Bucks-Patriots at $1,300. No surprise. Second, Ravens at Raiders at $944. Third, your Kansas City Chiefs heading to Vegas for the first time at $823 a pop. The next three most expensive tickets, which come in of Eagles Raiders, $673, Bears Raiders, $653, and Dolphins Raiders at $603. It is very easy to identify that Vegas is going to be the most expensive game for fans to go to. I have a theory on this. It's twofold. One, they just opened that new stadium. They lost out on a year of money. They're getting it back. They're going to recoup their losses. That's first and foremost. Secondarily, and this is not groundbreaking, the Vegas road trip is everyone's go-to road trip as an NFL fan this upcoming season. If you're a Chiefs fan, if you're a Dolphins fan, if you're an Eagles fan, if you're an other team fan, you know what one road game everyone's going to think about going to? Vegas. So these third-party ticket brokers have to spike tickets, or you're going to end up with Vegas looking like 60-40 Chiefs, 50-50 Eagles and Raiders.
Do you think that's true, or do you think that when Supreme Court said that all states can have legalized sports gambling, and clearly we don't have it in Missouri and Kansas yet, although it's getting close in Kansas, probably closer to Missouri, but we've got it in Iowa, and we've got it in Arkansas, and we've got it, 21 states at this point? Do you think that would kind of taper down the allure to go to Las Vegas to do it legally? Or do you think those palaces, topless swimming pools, wonderful buffets, I'm sure they'll be starting up again, Rob, and being under the lights of Sin City, seeing the fountains at Bellagio, maybe the pirate show at Treasure Island. Do we still want to go to Vegas?
Yes. I will credit Vegas for this. And I think Vegas is the ultimate 4-day getaway. I don't think you want to be there for more than 4 days because then you realize a lot of mistakes.
100% true.
It's more than just the gambling. Vegas has become an experience. There's the gambling. There's the nightclubs. There's the super nice hotels. There's old downtown. There's the zip line. There's the fancy restaurants. There's the, the thing on top of the sky tower. The
zip line, bro. You're going to really travel to go on a zip line.
It's a thing you can do there over people.
Bro, you can do that anywhere.
Not over people in downtown Vegas. That's an element. There's the...
If you're going to die, do it in front of people.
Exactly. There's the... I don't know the name of the Stratosphere. The Stratosphere ride.
Roller coaster.
Yeah, there's all the roller coasters. Cool. I mean, at this point, Vegas is so much more than just the gambling. Yes, the gambling is an element of it, but I think Vegas has become an experience more than just the place to gamble, because for better or worse, I've gone to Iowa, I've gambled, it's been a great, you drive sure. up there, great time.
So this makes
but
sense.
But it's different.
So this makes sense. I'm giving you $5,000, And I'm saying, if that's even enough, I guess we'll just say $5,000 to book your road trip, your 3-day trip, 4-day trip, whatever you want to be. Let's keep it at 3 or 2 because of the $5,000. And obviously, you're picking Vegas, right?
I mean, I'm not picking Vegas.
I see. I knew you weren't, but I was wondering why.
So my choice would actually be to go see the Kansas City Chiefs take on the Tennessee Titans in Nashville. A, I'm pretty sure you can double dip that weekend with Mizzou. I believe you can double dip that weekend with Vanderbilt. I'm double checking. But even if you can't, Nashville is a great, great time, similar to Vegas, an elite weekend. You get the live music. You get the country bars. You get it's warm in October. You get, I forget the name of their little main drag, but it's a good time.
4th Street.
4th Street, thank you. Nashville is a great road trip, and looking at the Chiefs' schedule, it's a road trip that ain't going to break the bank. We just talked about
you
Raiders.
Can drive.
Yeah. We talked about the Raiders tickets. You're going to have to fly and drive. No one's going to go to Cincinnati, so who cares? And then Washington, meh. Philly could be fun. Baltimore, eh. Nashville's the go-to trip on the schedule for the Kansas City Chiefs, in my opinion. What you got? What's your? Are you a Vegas guy, or are you going to make the trip to Nashville with me?
Well, here's the thing about Nashville. I love Nashville, first of all. Nashville's a great town. But not only that, Rob, you just missed on one of the biggest draws. Well, maybe you don't think so because you're a younger guy. But they have cruises from the Grand Ole Opry because it's like a hotel, and it's like the largest hotel in this country out not having a casino, all right? But the Cumberland River, you get on that riverboat, and you go straight down to the game. You eat breakfast, you drink beer, you do everything else. By the way, Missouri plays Saturday, October 30th.
Oh, so you cannot double
at
dip.
Vanderbilt.
No double dip. That's a tragedy.
Well, Sunday, October 24th is the game. So you have to stay there a little while. So your trips just extend a little bit. Yeah, you have a lot of fun, though.
Yeah, it's a great town.
Yeah.
It's an elite town. It's actually...
It is an elite town. I'll be honest with you. Here's the thing I've noticed about Nashville. It's a lot like Vegas. Speaking of Vegas, because that's where I'm going to go. We'll get that in a second. Nobody's actually from there. Like, everybody in Nashville's from, like, St. Louis, Kansas City, Chicago, you name it, because they want to be country music stars. And they're there to sing at bars and whatever to get discovered. But it's amazing the amount of people that aren't from Nashville, Tennessee, that happen to be there. But it's on the river, and river stadiums are kind of cool. So I'll give it to you. It's not exactly what I would think. And actually, the top two road trips for me, to be quite honest with you.
Really? What's 1-2 for you?
Number one is Vegas. And I know you're saying, but you just went on a spiel about how cool Vegas was. The roller coasters, the zip line, I mean, all these things. But I'm just saying, I like Las Vegas. I'm fond of Las Vegas for several reasons. I've been there quite a bit. I like Sin City. I think it's fun. You can kind of go there and don't worry about anything else. And when the Raiders showed up on the schedule, I loved it. I'm glad the pro sports is in Las Vegas. The Golden Knights had success right away. Raiders, not so much. They're banking on that. I think the Oakland A's are getting them Las Vegas. Is there some turmoil? Do you see Major League Baseball in Las Vegas here in a year? Why not? NFL's there.
A's are
NHL's
moving.
A's are on the move. Las Vegas, Nevada to me. But that would be road trip number one for me. I'm going to throw something out at you. I'm not going to say Baltimore either, even though the crab cakes are fantastic, from what I've told. This sounds ridiculous, but I'm addicted to Cincinnati. I know that's crazy, off the wall. I'd probably be the only person you talk to that would say that. That'd be road trip two. Why? It's drivable, first of all. Second of all, I had a hell of a good time at the 2015 All-Star Game in the Natty. One, they've got a White Castle. Two, they have a Skyline Chili, which they're known for. Three, they serve Rheingeist beer, which is their version of Boulevard, and it's very delicious. The IPA is phenomenal. Craft beer all over that ballpark. For the Cincinnati Reds, they got a great little ballpark village by the the Bengals and the Cincinnati Reds. It is a cool little, and I like cities like that, that size. That's perfect to me, like Kansas City, Cincinnati. Like, I'm down with that, man.
I just want to make sure I heard this. Did you say you like Skyline Chili?
Love Skyline Chili.
We're going to have to end the show early, Bink. That's a terrible take.
Have you ever had it, or are you saying that you're speaking?
Just an awful
take. When's the last time you had it?
It's awful, Bink. They put chili on spaghetti. No, it makes no sense.
It does make sense. Have you ever tried it?
Yes, it's bad.
Have you ever had Skyline Chili?
Yes, it's bad. I've had Skyline
in
Chili.
In Cincinnati.
Not in Cincinnati, but I've had Skyline Chili.
But Cincinnati is famous for the chili.
That doesn't mean it's good.
Yeah, it is. Wachowski went there four times when we went. I was at White Castle like four times. He went this, hey, buddy, you know, just laugh at White Castle all you want. There's a four-hour line in Orlando the other day for White Castle. That's what we're going to see here with Whataburger, to be honest with you.
Never, yeah, ones. that's coming.
I know that sounds stupid. What you're saying, why wouldn't you want to go to L.A.? Go to SoFi, which is the most expensive stadium by a long shot. This stadium is a hell of a lot more than the Allegiant Stadium in Vegas. Don't know if you know that, but NFL Network's moving their headquarters there. It is a beautiful palace where the Chargers and Justin Herbert will be playing and losing to the Chiefs. Not an L.A. guy, though.
I don't like L.A. at all.
Sin City and
LA's
the Natty.
LA's not for me.
Sin City and the Natty. Then Tennessee would be the top three.
Dusty, you want to come in early? The Natty.
That would be three. I'm not kidding. It's cheap.
I'd have Philly over Cincinnati.
Find a cheaper road trip, better on the wallet. And I get it. Gas prices are sky high right now. But find me a cheaper road trip than the Natty. Besides, Nashville's pretty expensive little town.
Denver. Though. Denver would be cheaper.
But Denver's annoying. Bronco, no, seriously. I don't think there's a more annoying fan base since the Raiders moved to Vegas. In Oakland, they were incredibly annoying. But in Denver, they're terrible. That incomplete chant. Seriously, that makes me want to mute the television when that's on. Well, I do it anyway because I listen to Mitch and Kling and Hughes. But that is annoying, man. That incomplete. No, thank you. Now, if the Packers were playing in Lambeau, that's the trip, but it's in Kansas City. Dallas, that would be a destination, but it's in Kansas City. See what I'm saying? There's some great teams here, but they're going to be in Kansas City. I didn't hear you say Washington football team.
I'm not a D.C. guy. I have no interest in D.C. And
I've been there once. Saw the sites, went to the Smithsonian. Yeah. It was kind of cool. The history.
Plus, I've talked to the boss, and apparently the stadium's in, like, a not fun part of town. So, like, half your trip, you're not even in real D.C. You're in Landover. Pass.
Yeah. Road, the subways, everything. I mean, it's a fun town to visit. There's a hell of a lot to do. Of course, this is pre-9/11. You go in the White House, do everything, you know. Fun little trip. But those are my two. The most reasonable is the Natty. Come on now. I don't even know what those tickets are going for. Let me look. Tickets as low as $62 for that game on ESPN. That's what they have. So that's the most economical game. Cincinnati and Chiefs. See some Joe Burrows and Jamar Chase. They're not going to be very good. Why not go for that?
I actually think the Bengals are going to be pretty good. I don't want to just distract from the conversation here, but I think the Bengals have a big time worst to first vibes.
Can't buy it now.
Big time.
I know Riley Reiff's there now. They're showing up that offensive line. I don't think the Steelers. I think Steelers are third in that division, though.
Steelers are going to fall off.
You think Natty's better than Steelers?
Yes.
Do you really?
You talk about being down on the Browns. I'm very down on the Steelers. Steelers last year all smoke and mirrors.
They had 18
it.
Free agents, and losing Bud Dupree was huge for that team. Lose James Conner. I mean, I know you're saying, Najee Harris, by the way, is better than James Conner. I mean, Najee Harris, they were the only team less than 90 yards rushing last year in the NFL, which is weird. That's why I thought Najee Harris was like the easiest selection in the first round. 24. If there's nobody that said Pittsburgh Steelers more than Najee Harris or Pimonte Brothers sandwiches, Najee Harris. I digress. You saw a weird list today, didn't you?
That I did.
We gotta get out of here.
Before we go.
I got two before we go stories for you, Bink. We'll go these quick. First and foremost, TripAdvisor has put together their top 10 list of barbecue cities in the United States. I will go through this quickly.
Kansas City's one, right?
I'm gonna surprise you with who's one. Cause at 9 is Miami, Florida. At 10, Newark, New Jersey. 8, St. Louis, Missouri.
Oh, okay.
7, Seattle, Washington.
Oh, geez.
6, Columbus, Ohio. The barbecue haven.
I remember my
haven.
First beer.
Virginia Beach at 4. Virginia Beach, good Lord. Charlotte, North Carolina, that makes sense. I disagree with it. They come in at 3. At number 2, Wichita. And number 1, New Orleans, Louisiana. Bink, try to make heads or tails of this list.
New Orleans is a fantastic town. The Cajun food. It's about the shrimp, the crawfish, those kind of things. It's not barbecue. Miami, what are you talking about? Newark? Are you kidding me? I didn't hear you mention any cities in Texas.
No Texas cities in the top 10.
Memphis, were they even mentioned?
Nope.
Okay, so you're going to put a list of best barbecue, and you don't have the epicenter, Kansas City. I'll give Texas their due, and I'll give Memphis their due. You don't have any of those three cities in here, and you're going to call a list? Seriously, this is clickbait. I mean, this is, were you drunk or high when you put this list out? But this makes me not even want to look at list. This is about as verifiable as that list that had Olathe, Kansas as a beach town a couple years ago. It's that ridiculous. You don't have Kansas City, Memphis, or any cities in Texas? And you've got St. Louis? Miami? New Orleans? New Orleans is not known for the barbecue. Cajun.
I mean,
slap your mama hot sauce.
Seattle, Columbus.
Seattle.
These are bastions of the barbecue.
Newark, New Jersey? No.
You remember that photo hit the internet a few years ago? It's like Brooklyn barbecues taking over the world. Whoever put that article out there, put this list together. Because this is a comical list. Just comical. I'm not a huge Texas barbecue fan. I'm not a huge Memphis barbecue fan. But to not have them in the top 10, it's just lunacy. Absolute lunacy. KC's obviously the big miss.
To be honest with you, this list, do you think was put together? First of all, are you a little bit concerned they don't know food to put this together?
I mean, it's TripAdvisor, which so there's it's I not the it. World's best metric, but I agree. The list is stupid.
Do you think, honestly, this was serious, or do you think this was, all right, let's see what we can do for clickbait?
I think it was serious because, I mean, TripAdvisor's trying to get people to travel. We just had the CDC pull the mask mandate.
Okay,
TripAdvisor's a whole thing based on getting people to travel, so you'd want to get people to click and engage and use the app. So I think it was real.
All right, you went top 10, right?
Top 10.
11, Portland, El Paso, Irvine, California.
We got a Texas
City,
finally.
San Diego, California, which, by the way, it's like a Kansas City barbecue restaurant out there that's the most popular.
It's a knockoff.
Louisville, Baltimore.
Crab cakes and barbecue.
Minneapolis. Austin, Texas. There's Texas represents finally. Phoenix and Durham, North Carolina. Get it. North Carolina barbecue. Get it. Kansas City's not in their top 20. San Diego.
Portland.
Baltimore. Baltimore is a seafood place, man. It's not barbecue.
Crab cakes and barbecue. That's what Baltimore does.
All right. What else is on your mind real quick?
Real quick, fast one to get out of here. I don't want to make too much light of this. According to a story from St. Charles, Missouri, a hunter mistook a hiker for a turkey and accidentally shot at this person. The Missouri Department of Conservation is looking into the incident. Do you think a hiker should ever be mistaken for a turkey?
Were they gobbling? I mean, I don't know.
Just doing some hiking, some
was
gobbling.
At night and you're like making a noise like a turkey? I mean, I don't know. No. Regardless, text line does not like chili in Cincinnati. I get that. Thanks to Rob Britton. Appreciate that. Kansas City Royals losing streak goes to 11 straight games. CDOT back tomorrow, but 6-9. You get the dust, man, the dirty werewolf. See you guys later.